for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, May the 26th, 2002. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the minister of the morning.
I want you to open your Bible to Matthew 16. Matthew 16:18. Jesus and his disciples were together. And Jesus said, "Who you people say I am?" And they said, "Well, they say you're one of the prophets. Come back." They say that some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets, but he said, "Who you say I am?" Peter said to him, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the Christ, which is the Christus, or the Anointed One." The Hebrew word is Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then he says something that is very interesting. And I'm going to read it in the old King James. He says, "But I say to thee, I say to thee, that thou art Peter, and on this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I give to thee the keys, the kingdom, and whatever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." Now, I read that in the old King James because it's singular. Modern English does not have a second person singular. Now, I'm reading out of a New King James, and it says, "to you." But it was given to a single individual. It was given to Peter as an individual, and it's given to you as an individual to bind. Now, what does the Greek word bind mean? It means to tie up with chains. And you notice he said, "This is the keys." This is the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I heard that interpreted dozens of ways as to what that meant. It meant that Peter was going to be the one who would open it to the Gentiles and in all sorts of things. But I'll tell you what it means. You as an individual, if you want power over the enemy, you got to bind him. That's what the book says. You got to bind him. He says that you, if you go back to Matthew 12, and here he's talking about, let's start with verse 25. He's been casting out demons. And the Pharisees been saying he's cast them out by the power of Satan, by Beelzebub. And King and Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, by the word of wisdom, knew what they were thinking. The word of knowledge. And then by the word of wisdom, he speaks this forth. "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?" There, Jesus tells you that Satan's got a kingdom. Okay. "And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judge. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God," or the Spirit of God, in Luke he says the finger of God, surely the kingdom has come upon you. And then he says, or else, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first bind the strong man and then plunder his house? Now, he is saying to you there that if you want to pull down the kingdom that Satan has set up in you, that's what Henry was talking about last night, the extension of Satan's kingdom into your body, sin. Anybody in here have any doubt that sin belongs to, is in the kingdom of Satan? And the Bible says that sin dwells in your body. So Satan has put an extension of his kingdom into your body to war against your soul. How are you going to plunder it? You're going to bind it. What you going to do? You're going to tie it up in chains. You know, the devil is deaf. He can't read your mind. You can think thoughts. He can't read them. That's in 2 Kings. I think it's chapter 5, verse 30. But you can go look it up. And it said, but you alone, O Lord, know the hearts of men. You and only you know the hearts of men. Okay? Satan. And so, for you to bind Satan, you got to speak it out. Got to put it in the airwaves. And Satan can hear you. And the angels can hear you. And the angels will take the chains and bind up the demon and haul him off. Now, if you don't bind him, and he says, if you loose in heaven, well, what is that? Well, you know, we talked about familiar spirits, and we talked about the books. Brother Henry talked about the books. Now, in Revelation, it says that when you stand before the great white throne, the books will be open, and then the Lamb's Book of Life will be open. There are the books. Now, I covered this in the men's group, but I hope they will bear with me while we cover it again. Turn your Bible to Ecclesiastes. Now, that's right after Proverbs, right before the Song of Solomon, which is right after, you know, there's Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Psalms, which is in the middle of the Bible, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 20, I think it is. Yes. Trevor, and here is just sort of an isolated verse. Don't curse the king, even in your thought. For the Bible says that you shall not curse the leader of your people. Now, I can go over to Acts and show you where Paul says, when he rebuked the high priest, and they said, you revile God's high priest, and he immediately repented and said, I'm sorry, I didn't know he was a high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of the leader of the people. But he was referring to a section in the law that you go back and read, and it says, don't curse the leader of the people. So speaking evil is to curse them. Here it says you don't curse the king even in your thought. Why? Because God hears it. And then the next, let's look at the next one. Okay. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom. For the bird of the air will carry your voice and the bird in flight will tell the matter. Now, my mother always had lots of little birdies around town. I never got around with anything. Mother would say, Billy, is there something you want to talk to me about? Oh. Well, don't you think you need to talk to me? And you're saying, oh, Lord, what has she found out? And a little birdie told me that you need to talk to me. And I didn't know this little birdie was in the house. She had birdies all over town. So you confess something, and she said, oh, that's very interesting. But that is not what the little birdie told me.
And you said you just better shut up and take it, boy, because you don't know what she's heard. Or maybe she's just on a fishing expedition. Ooh, I never got by with anything. But this little birdie here is not the kind of bird that sits on the thing. It's a translation of a flying thing. What do you mean? A flying thing. Now, if you go over, if you keep your finger here, and let's go over to Ezekiel. Now, look in Ezekiel chapter 13. Okay. Here, the prophet is talking about false prophets who sow magic charms. Let's look at this. Look at 13:18. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves, make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt souls of my people and keep yourself alive? Will you profane me among my people for a handful of barley and pieces of bread? Killing people who should not die. Keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to your lies. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like birds, flying things. I will tear them off your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like flying things. So that flying thing is literally a demon. It's a spirit. And that is a familiar spirit that decided your family. I said, well, you know, I read a tremendous amount about it. I've got everybody's book off that table and every table I could find trying to understand familiar spirits. But they didn't understand any more about them than I did. I still came away with not understanding them. And I was laboring over it, and I was fasting and praying and saying, God, you need to show me how this thing works. I don't understand. And I got ready to go to bed one night, and a voice spoke out of the darkness. I cut the light off. And it said, a familiar spirit is, in an audible voice that I could hear. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh. You acknowledge it to get out of here in the name of Jesus. I bind you, get out of here. You acknowledge it, Elder. And he said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, has come in the flesh, and he is my Lord. A familiar spirit is. A spirit that you are familiar with, through whom you manifest supernatural power. A familiar spirit is a spirit assigned to you that is familiar with you. And I asked a question. I said, why is it the term familiar spirit only appears in the Old Testament? It does not appear in the New Testament. That was the thing that really perplexed me. And the answer was, in the Old Testament, God's Spirit was poured out only on a certain number of anointed prophets. Anyone who manifested supernatural power other than these prophets was said to have a familiar spirit and was stoned. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. He had the unholy spirit. In the New Testament, every spirit-filled believer has a familiar spirit through which they manifest supernatural power, and that spirit is the Holy Spirit. Every one of you is filled with the Holy Ghost. As a spirit in you that you should know, that you should be familiar with. And through this, you have a spiritual gift through which you can manifest supernatural power. So, I said, I see. And so here we have this little birdie, this little familiar spirit that's hiding and sitting, watching around you, sitting, flying in the air around you in your bedroom. And when you curse someone, he hears you. And he reports it to that other familiar spirit who's off to the heavens
to write it down in them books that Satan keeps up there, just like God keeps his. The angels have already reported. God already knows, you know, it's up there.
And when you do something in secret, your secret sin, that only you and the Holy Spirit and God and the devil knows about. Says that thing that you do in the dark that you are ashamed of to even talk about. You do it in secret. But it ain't secret to the spirit world. Because they're watching. And they're reporting it. And they're writing it down. And that gives them a legal right. You're envious. You're coveting that. Why she has that? Why I'm as good a Christian as she is. How come she got that new color television and I don't have one? How can she afford to have HBO and Star Trek and all them good television programs? Why can't I have one?
And all that's written down. And that gives the devil a legal right.
Mm-hmm.
Gives him a legal right. Now the Holy Spirit will convict you if you'll listen. And you can repent and say, convict you in your spirit. You say, oh, God, that's wrong to covet that. Lord, forgive me. I don't need that. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry, Lord. Bless that woman. I'm glad she's got it. I'm glad of it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Just bless her. I don't need it. And the devil, he's up there racing. Because you ain't got nothing no more legal right there. You ain't loose yourself from it. You say, I loose myself from that in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I confess that it's sin. I loose myself from it.
Amen.
And that's when the devil starts racing, because you don't loose yourself. To be loose means you turn loose from it, and the devil's up there racing. And so when the enemy puts that bad thought in your mind, and he's the one that's come and told you to be jealous in the first place, that spirit of covetousness has spoken and put that into you. And it's never in the second person. It's always in the first person. I need it. Mine. I'm as good as him. And the devil is putting these thoughts into you. And what do? You say, devil, you harassing spirit, I'll loose myself from that. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to get away from me. And you know what the angels do? They come and tie that booger up with chains and haul him off.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's what the Bible says. That's the keys to the kingdom. Now, if the devil can convince you that nothing is happening, maybe you'll quit. So he got four or five of them that's standing in a row, boy. When one of them gets bound, I'm going to just step up there and keep on talking. And you just keep on binding, and they just keep hauling them off. And the devil's got a finite number of demons. He don't have an infinite number. He got an army. Now, during the war, we had the pipeline. And we were training soldiers here. We were drafting men here. We were training them here, and arming them here. And they were flowing through the pipeline and dumping them out here on the front. We had a constant flow of men coming in all the time. The devil, he ain't got but so many. He ain't got no draft back here. He got all the demons he's going to get. And when he keeps losing them up here, he says, it ain't working too good, you know. Maybe I'm going to try something else. And so he stops there, and he takes the computer mouse, and he runs it around on the screen. He said, I know. This worked against her grandfather. Or grandmother, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll try this one. You know what he said when he left Jesus? He would left him to return at a more opportune time. Well, so what he has to you? A more opportune time. He said, we just pull back a little bit. We'll be right here. But the first opportunity, we coming in again. Y'all got deliverance this morning. I'm telling you, the devil is up there going crazy with his computer mouse trying to figure out where he going to hit you next. What weakness you got? How can I sneak in there and lie to them and get back in?
Because I've been bound and cast out and hauled off, and I got new troops that are coming in. I'm committing some reserves now. But I want to use them effectively as I can. And let's see what we can do. And you know, Paul says, we are not unaware of the wiles of the devil. What are the keys to the kingdom? Bind and loose. What is the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God? Somebody tell me. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God, Him. There is a coming kingdom. But I tell you, you get into that kingdom here today, and you'll be ready for the coming kingdom. That's right. You come into that kingdom today of righteous peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, and you'll be ready when He comes back. He's coming. The bridegroom is coming. But no man knows the hour and the day that He's coming. So be ready for Him. He may come at midnight. Don't be asleep. Don't be like the foolish virgins that don't have no oil in your lamps. Don't have no oil there. You're going to sleep, so we got plenty of time. He ain't coming for a while. He may come when you're unaware. You'll be left outside the gate knocking on the door. Praise God. I hope I have not offended anybody's doctrine. They are sacred cows, but don't stone me. I love you anyway. I hope you love me. Oh, God. I tell you, if I say something that offends you, soccer, your sacred cow, come talk to me. I said something once, and I tell you, I got these people so upset they left the camp meeting. And all over on it. My mind on doctrine issue. You know, I heard my pastor say once that Amy McPherson said, he said, Amy said that in the essential things there should be unity. You know, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, Son of God, born of a virgin, died on the cross for our sin, raised on the third day for our resurrection, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand, that we are children of God. God's our Father, Jesus our big brother, and we've been accepted in the beloved. Those are essential things. You've got to believe those if you're going to be a Christian. But there are a lot of other doctrines out there that aren't essential. And he said, okay, in those things, we should have unity in the essential things, we should have liberty in the unessential things. And in all things, you should have love. And so I told my son that, and he said, yeah, Dad, but that wasn't original with Amy. I said, oh. He said, no, Martin Luther said that. I said, really? He said, wasn't it original with Martin Luther either? Said St. Augustine of Hippo said it in the year 250 or 300. You know who St. Augustine of Hippo was? Well, St. Augustine of Hippo was a black man who came from Africa, and he's the one that owes theology most of what we believe today is based on. Most of the denominations go back to St. Augustine, but lots of them go to the young St. Augustine, lots of them go to the middle-aged St. Augustine, and a lot of them go to the old St. Augustine. And St. Augustine had a progression. And if you read what he said when he was young, sometimes he changed his mind. I thought that was very interesting, but let's go on here. And so, you need to bind and loose. Now, there's another place where binding and loosening is mentioned. And that's for the church. That's for the church. This morning I told a lady, I said, you need to bind and loose. I said, you got a car out there. You got an instruction book that came with the car. And the instruction book says you stick the key in the ignition. And you turn it and the car cranks up. Now, if you don't put that key in the ignition and turn it, I mean, you can get somebody and put a tow truck on it, and you can pull it, and you can get some gasoline, and you can pour it in the carburetor, and all those things, tricks we used to do to get cranky machinery cranked up. Ain't nothing going to work until you turn the ignition on. That's what the book says. It will not crank up until you turn the ignition key. Well, I'm going to tell you. You don't get rid of this instruction book's right here. Put out by your Creator. See, that other instruction book was made by the fellow who made that car. The fellow made you. Made you out of dirt. He put out an instruction book, too. And that instruction book you're supposed to know because it'll tell you how it works. That's the reason he says you have to have understanding and knowledge. See how it works. You use the instruction book, body will work right. You want to get rid of the devil? Find him. That's what the book says. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And so you need to bind. I want all of you to practice binding, to say it. And you say it over and over again. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of you foul spirits. I bind you. Sometimes I walk down the hall to the hospital. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Get out of here. And it's a gut my head. Witchcraft. Get out of here. In the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I walk down that channel and say, God, Doc Noah talking to himself again. But you know, I was walking down the street like I was walking down the hall like that one day. Just walking down the hall, and I was on a terrible attack. And I was blind. I got about it right. Got right then, and God said, go in that door up there. And you know, I knew I was supposed to go in this door. So I walked in this door. And all of a sudden, the devil left. All that attack left. And there was this little kid laying in the bed. He's on life support. About 3 or 4 months old. And he's gasping. He had oxygen. He had tubes in him. He was scared. It was horrible. I couldn't figure out why there wasn't a nurse in there with him. I looked at him, you know, and he had 2 IVs going. He had oxygen in his nose. And he's just, and his chest was sinking in. And I said, in the name of Jesus, live! I bind you, you harassing devils. In the name of Jesus, live! Be well! In Jesus' name. I got the release. I left. And I went on down there and said, somebody go down and take care of that baby. What I didn't know was that the grandfather's a back-splitting brethren preacher was in the bathroom. And he's trying to get out, see who's in there talking. And by the time he gets out of the hedge, you know, I don't know, no. And he walks in, and his grandchild is standing up in their crib, shaking it like this, screaming for mercy, I want something to eat. And he looks out in the hall, you know, like this, and he sees me turn the corner. And he goes charging down the room. Well, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he... That angel that came over was in my room down there with my child's room. No angel, it's Dr. No. He said, well, go look at my baby. He said, well, looks like God. Yeah, what'd you? He just came in there and told the baby to live. And just said he bound the devil. He said, well, he does that all the time. And so that man, he went there. They discharged the baby that afternoon. They took that baby home. And that man, he went by and went over and contacted the Four Square preacher, who was a friend of mine, over in the other town. And said, I want you to tell me about this business about healing, divine healing. I said, well, the first thing you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, do you know this, Dr. Newell? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, what's he got? We got the Holy Ghost. That's what you need. And so the man got filled with the Holy Ghost. And his preacher struck him. And so he come back to the model, back to the town, and ended up founding a big church. Now I got 700 members in it. Walking in the Holy Ghost. Preaching deliverance and healing. What I do? I walk in the room like God told me to and just spoke 3 words. 4 words and walked out. That's all. I just did what he told me. I wasn't afraid to do what he told me to do. I prayed for a man one day. I was parked my car. And I jaywalking across the street, you know. A main street there. It is, of course, downtown, not very busy anymore, you know, just a car. And the lights had it. So I sort of jaywalking. And in the middle of the street, I met this friend of mine that I had worked with some years ago a Methodist, retired Methodist preacher who's, you know, really a believer, a really fine man. And he was walking on slow, and I said, "What's wrong?" And I called him by name. He said, "I got to go have open heart surgery in the morning. I said, I can't walk but 4 or 5 feet, and I get the engine, and I'm walking real slow." I said, "Well, man, let me pray for you." And I laid hands for him right there in the middle of Santa Fe, you know, and started praying for him. And he got slain in the spirit, fell out right there in the spirit, right there. And I'm down on my knees down there praying for him. And somebody sees him, and they call 911. And before 911 gets there, he's up feeling better. He didn't have to have surgery. God healed him right there in the middle of Santa Fe. Don't be afraid to be obedient to God. Somebody tell you they hurt. Somebody tell you sick, what you say to them? So let me pray for you. I pray for people on the street, in the bank, in my office, in the middle of Santa Fe, any place I meet them, they say they're sick. I say, "Here, let me pray for you." And I pray for everybody. Don't be afraid. Now, some of them draw back like, you know, I done spoke I was going to reach out there and bite them like a snake or something. I mean, they drew back like, that's okay. I don't pick up no offense. I just say, "God bless you. Keep you." Of course, everybody knows about me. Now, they know that I'm just a holy Joe, you know, and I pray for everything. The thing about it is, folks get healed sometimes. I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I know only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I am not ashamed of Him. And I will stand anywhere, anytime, and I will proclaim His name that He sends me. I will not go someplace that He has not sent me. You know, Paul didn't go down to Ephesus. Now, I'm sure there were unsaved folks down in Ephesus. And doesn't the Bible say that you submit God's will, He wants you to go pray for unsaved folks? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Paul, I'm sure there are a lot of unsaved. But you know, if Paul had been disobedient and gone on down to Ephesus, I think he would have found himself in what's locally known now as a difficult missionary field. He wouldn't have got much work because the Holy Ghost wouldn't have gone with him. And I'm going to tell you, you know how many folks you're going to get saved without the Holy Ghost? That many. That many. Great big goose egg. You can do a lot of good work. You may get some rice Christians. Y'all know what a rice Christian is? In China, we used to, you know, they used to feed people. And they got a lot of folks in the jail ministry that's called taking a dive. Where's Jerry? Jerry, you in anywhere? He got a jail, Jerry has a jail ministry. And I'll tell you, if you have a jail ministry, you're going to have people that will confess Jesus' name. And they'll come to Bible study and they'll quote the Bible to you. The only problem with them is they don't know Jesus. They want to impress the judge. Because they think that if they do that, that the judge going to go easy on them. Maybe the judge might not even put them in jail, as one of them said to me. I said, "Well, Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins." "Yeah, but they're going to put me in jail." I said, "I don't know. Society may require a penalty from you." "You mean to tell me that this ain't going to get me out of going to jail?" "I don't know. That's up to the judge." "Well, I don't want them to do no God like that. He ain't no Jesus. He just is a rice Christian." Yeah, praise God. I've gone sort of far astray. But I wanted you to understand that the secret to the keys to the kingdom of God is to bind and loose. And you need to bind and loose the strong man. Well, as long as we've gone this far, I guess we'll go over a little bit more. Let's go over to Matthew. We'll look at the other binding and loosening scripture while we're here. Go to Matthew 18. And here we got an offended brother. Matthew 18:15. "More of your brother sins against you, Go and tell his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother.
Uh-huh. It'd be nice if most folks did that instead of going to every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the country first.
But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word might be established. And if he refuses to hear them, then tell it to the church. And if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. For assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Well, you see, now this is talking to about the church here. And this is given in the second person plural. It's not given to an individual. It's given to the church. Given to the church to bind. And what does it say you can bind? It says, I say if any two of you agree. Now that word agree, that's not a mental agreement. That's from the Greek symphonize, from which we get the word symphony. It means to come into spiritual harmony. Means when two of you, I tell you, when a man and his wife can come together in the Holy Spirit and agree, there is no more powerful cell. That's the reason it says to a man, don't get that you stay in harmony with your wife so your prayers won't be hindered. So, when the two of you come together in spiritual harmony with the Holy Spirit, whatever you say is set forth in faith, it'll happen. If you agree on it, if you can get the Holy Spirit to agree with you. Now, this is not a mental agreement where you call up your friend and say, brother, I got this check here for $5. I want you to agree with me that this is 50. Oh, I agree with you, brother. Now, how many of y'all believe there's $50 in his hand? How many of y'all ever seen that done on television? You can just touch it now. That's 50. Hmm? Okay, y'all, I've seen it. I've sort of vomit and cut it off, but I've seen this happen. I mean, that's... God, I'm glad I'm not going to have to stand before the great white throne and answer for something like that, you know? But let's go on. I don't want to get onto that. But it is a spiritual agreement. And that gives you the authority to bind the principalities and powers over this nation, over your city, over this nation. When you come together as a group, you can bind them if you can come into the Spirit of God. It gives you the power. Bind moves. Says anything. Anything.
I was at a large conference on spiritual warfare, and they were in a room with 2,000 people. And they had a panel of noted experts. And the panel got into a real fight. I mean stomping, beating on the table kind of fight over the authority to bind a principality as of spoken of in Daniel 10, like the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece. And this one man was beating and said, you show me a scripture where it says you can bind. I mean, really? And I just, it grieved me. I sat there, and I wanted so bad to go up and quote this to him, but God wouldn't let me get out of that chair. And there were a whole bunch of students, because this place has a huge student, a lot of students, sitting around me, and one of them said, Dr. Nully, is there scripture? I said, sure, this one right here. So we'll quote that down. I said, I said, that poor moderator, he's got another problem. He don't want other folks. He don't need folks from the audience coming up joining in. And he was trying to pour water, oil on the colored one, and move on. Because you weren't going to change either one of those people. And the man who's beaten got up and left. He walked out of conference.
I mean, he stepped on one of his doctrinal toes, boy. And he, I don't think he'll ever be invited back. Okay. That's binding and loosening. I just meant to give a little 5-minute dissertation on it because it is such an important concept. You know, you hear me say I bind you all the time. I want you to see it in Scripture and realize it is the key to the kingdom of God. And if you want to overcome that extension of the devil's kingdom into your flesh, into your body, you've got to first bind the strong. Remember, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world, okay? And that word greater is he, is actually the Greek word strong man. You have a greater strong man in you than the devil has any place else. You've got the Holy Spirit. This friend of mine was a missionary to Papua New Guinea. And he went into the village some 25 years ago. And he upset. They'd never had any missionaries there. And he went in and just settled down and began to preach the gospel and pray for healing and converts. And God just poured out his spirit. But it upset the social order within the village. And so he said he'd been there about 2 months, and the witch doctor came to him and said, "Sir, I just want you to know something. Did you really upset some folks in this village? And they have hired me to kill you. Now, I have gone out into the bush, and I have conjured up my strongest spirits," spirits that he was familiar with, his familiar spirits, "and I have sent them to kill you. But they come back and tell me that there is a stronger spirit in you, a mightier spirit in you, and that they can't touch you. And I have conjured up every evil spirit that I know, and I have not been able to touch you because you have a spirit in you that's stronger than anything I have. But I warn you, sir, don't grieve that spirit. Because if he should ever leave you, my demons will kill you." And he said, "Now these people keep paying me and I have to keep, and that's where I make my living. I keep sending my demons out, but I just want you to know." He said, "Personally, I like you, but this is the way I make my living." And he said he got sick twice. Once, he got into an argument with his wife. Got into a bitter argument with his wife, went to bed mad. Next morning, he woke up sick as a dog. It took him 3 days to realize what had happened. He went back and asked his wife, "Oh, God, please forgive me." And he made up with his wife, and he got well. And then he had a fight in the church with one of the elders, and the same thing happened to him. And that witch doctor, he's still sending the demons out. Okay? But greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Well, how do you grieve him? Well, let's look at Ephesians. While we're on this, just look at Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 29. Here, Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul gives you, starting at verse 12, he gives you a recipe for Christian living. Stay away from the enemy. Gives you a description of the body, and then a recipe of how to stay away from the enemy. And we come down to verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for the necessary edification, building up, that it might impart grace to the hearers." Don't ever say anything that doesn't build up and give grace to the person hearing it. Man, some folks have to quit talking altogether. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness," you could also translate that rebellion, "wrath, anger, clamor," which means loud quarreling, "evil speaking," which means cursing,
putting curses on people. And when you say something like, I wish they would die, that's a curse. I wish they'd lose their business. Then they won't be so proud and mighty. That's a curse. Put all that away. Because it's sin. It lets sin in. It can come back on you. If it can't find a place to light, it'll come back and light on you. You talk to a witch, they're real careful about it. You talk to a professional curse caster, they're real careful about who they curse and how they curse them. Because they don't curse if it can't find a legal right. Remember I told you yesterday that Proverbs 27 said a curse like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow. A curse causeless will not light. If it can't find a legal ground, it won't light. Now, a professional witch will send out her profession, her familiar spirit, and not that little bird in the air. He'll come sit down and talk to your familiar spirit, say, what's his secret sin? How can we curse him? And he find out all your secret sin, he bag and he'll leave witch doctor. And the witch doctor will craft a curse to fit your weakness. You ever wonder how professional poker players can tell you what you got in your hand? They got a familiar spirit looking over your shoulder. Tell them. You wonder how these professional bridge, you ever play bridge? I used to play bridge with my mother-in-law. That woman would tell me what I had in my hand after I played two cards. Literally. She knew what everybody had. She was one of them lifetime masters. Mm-hmm. I used to look as if she had mirrors on the wall or something. Praise God. I quit playing with her. Well, let's go on back in. Evil speaking. Be put away with all malice or ill will. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. There you've got, in a nutshell, how you grieve the Holy Spirit and how you keep from grieving it. You ought to memorize those. Quote it. And do it. Do it. Say, God, give me grace to do it. God, give me strength to do it. Keep my mouth shut. Praise God. Well, we got 15 minutes to cover something I normally cover an hour and a half, and I'm not going to try. I'm going to say this to you. I talked about divination yesterday. I talked about false prophecy, which is the spirit of divination. I'm going to say to all of you, you need to go home and clean your house out. You need to clean your house out. Well, you can clean my house out. Well, you need to get rid of everything that has to do with the occult. Now, we talk about magic. Now, most folks think magic is pulling rabbits out of a hat. But magic, if you look up magic in Webster's New World Dictionary, it says magic is the ability to control people or natural events by supernatural means. That's magic. All right. Divided into three portions. First is witchcraft. That is magic done by compact with evil spirits. The second is sorcery. Sorcery is that's done through the use of talisman, amulets, potions, curses, drugs, and music. Okay? Go to a rock concert, you go in the local sorcerer. Witch doctor uses drums, a certain beat, to call up the demons. Sorcery. He burns a nightshade in the fire to put morphine. You breathe that smoke, breathing in morphine. One of the drugs that we used to use that kids used to use back in the 20s was called Dr. Asmazol's asthma mix. It was mostly belladonna leaves.
A little of it helped your asthma. A lot of it would put you out on a trip last 3 days. It was all had atropine in it. What is atropine? Well, you all remember the old Western movies where the horses would eat the loco weed? That's atropine. And I've seen kids eat some of the loco weed. Somebody gave the little kids some of the balls off the plant, and they bit into it, and they came in. Their pupils were all dilated, and their skin was all flush, and they were trying to pick things out of the air, and they were hallucinating. And they were still alive, and it had been about 4 hours. And so you just put them in a room there, give them some fluids, and let the body burn it up. And the last one is divination. And that's knowledge. Seeking knowledge apart from God. And tomorrow, I'm going to talk about divination, hopefully, and sorcery. But if I don't get to it, I want to tell you what the talismans are. What is a talisman? Well, jewelry. Religious metals. I used to have a big silver medal about this big with an old man and a staff on my keychain that was supposed to protect me when I rode in a car. And y'all have one of those? Huh? That was going to keep me safe. Was that, well, I don't have one now, but I used to show it to people. I got my Dillon's card on there now. but that was supposed to keep me safe. That's a talisman. That's a sorcery. You got one? You got them in your household? It came down through your family line? Belonged to Grandma? And you know, it's got made out of silver or gold and got a diamond in it. Valuable. Anybody ain't got one of those? I'm going to tell you. That's a home for a demon. And you keep that in your house, you got a place for the demon to stay. He got a legal right to be in your house. Can you sell it? You going to sell it and give the demon to somebody else? The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7:25 that you shall not, their idols you shall burn with fire. You shall not profit from the gold or the silver thereon. Give it to Glenn. He got a hole back out of him. He drops a man. Goes down 400 feet in the ground. Take him. Get rid of him. That's all I can say to you. Just get rid of him. I threw mine in the river. You got one of those little things like this that little man can stick his tongue out. It's a Mexican sun god. You know, it's a Mexican. It's an Aztec calendar. Lots of Hispanic people keep them because they say they're related to their culture. Just shows that I'm that shows my culture. I said, my God, it's an idol. It's got a demon in it. And you want to keep a demon there? You ask? Sister Irma will tell you about the people who had the child had night terrors. Woke up every night screaming. And was 3 years old. It's him, it's him, it's him. They couldn't find anything. And they had in their home a $2,500 20 years ago. My God, it'd be about $10,000 now. They paid $2,500 for this big jade Buddha. It's set in there, a fine object of art. The trouble was, it had a demon in it. Because it's a statue of a god. People worship. It's nothing but a piece of stone, but it had got a demon in it. That'll come out. It's got a legal right to stay in your house and torment you as long as you've got that thing in there. Got Buddhas? Okay. You got an Italian horn. That's that little wiggly thing that you see folks around wearing their neck, you know? That means I trust God for my finances. It looks real cute, you know, just a little wiggly thing hanging on a little gold chain around your neck. Well, it don't mean anything to me. Well, that don't mean anything to me. I just like it because it looks nice. Well, I certainly hope you appreciate you've cursed yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren because you're wearing it. And you've cursed your finances and probably the spirit of poverty is going to come into you. And a spirit of lust, because you give it a legal right, you're wearing that thing, just keep it in your house. Leprechaun staff, it's also called a leprechaun staff, a unicorn horn. What about that little thing that looked like a horn, you know, a copia? That means you trust the devil for your finances again. I mean, that coin, that thing is supposed to just have money coming out of it in mythology. That's the thing that the gods had to, they gave somebody when they wanted to bless them. And all kind of good stuff came out of it.
Well, it's just a pretty thing, you know. Just made out of gold, and I like the workmanship on it. It looks nice, and I got a lot of compliments on it. Oh, I'm sure the devil, man, he just loves to have you wear that. Uh-huh. It gives that devil a right to come into your mind. What about a good luck charm, like a four-leaf clover, or a rabbit's foot, or a horseshoe, or a wishbone, or a lucky penny? You don't know what luck means? Luck is the Egyptian god of good fortune out of the Babylonian system. I mean, y'all tell people good luck. You're blessing them with a Babylonian god. I say, may God bless you. May the blessings and provision of Almighty God, Jehovah, go with you. Don't say good luck, because that is a, you are blessing them with a Babylonian god from the Egyptian system. And you got any of those things I talked about? Rabbit's foot, horseshoes, four-leaf clovers, lucky pennies, all that stuff? Get rid of it. Oh, wishbone? I have a... Well, you, when I was a Boy Scout, a scoutmaster, I had 2 5-gallon buckets welded together, one on top of the other, sit on this thing, and we had a... We built, when we took it out in the wintertime, we had this wide thing on it, and we built fires in it, you know, and it would turn red, you know, and the boys would stand around and warm themselves. It was about this tall, and so the smoke all went straight up, and we had a thing on top of it to keep the coffee boiler on it to make hot chocolate, and we called it the above-the-ground Dakota hole. Well, Dakota hole is where you take a thing and you drill a hole in the ground, then you drill one on the side there, and you build this fire down in the ground. Well, this is up. It's called an above-the-ground Dakota hole. It's just a fire. Just an old pot-belly stove is what it was that we made out of a couple of 10-gallon, 5-gallon buckets. But I had one in my backyard, you know, and whenever I got this, I'd get this stuff together, and then I'd throw some wood in there and throw a little lighter fluid in it, some charcoal on it, get a good hot fire going, and I'd dump all this stuff in, and, man, you'd be surprised. Sometimes flames would go up 30 feet in the air. Man, I threw some witchcraft dolls in there, some voodoo dolls, and, man, the fire went up. My neighbor said, my God, Doc, I'm ready to call the police. What's going on? He said, I'm going to call the fire department. I said, well, that's all right. We're just getting ready to have a cookout here. Put a little too much lighter fluid on it. We hadn't had a cook-up. We're cooking some demons. That's what we're doing. I didn't tell them we were cooking demons, but that's what we were doing. We were cooking up the demons, and we were getting red. I tell y'all, you need to get rid of all that stuff. Copper rings, bracelets, necklets, they're for healing and good luck. They come out of Egypt, the Egyptian system. Are you going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for your healing? You're going to trust the devil. I'm going to tell you, white witches can, you can get an apparent healing going to the witch, going to the healer. How many of y'all know somebody's a wart charmer? You can go in, they rub your wart, and it disappears. Huh? Well, you can trade your wart for melanoma, or trade your wart for stomach cancer or something. You go to the devil's counter, trade up. You don't trade down. You go to the Christian science practitioner, which is neither Christian nor scientific. Fine people, tough-minded people, worry about people, want to see people healed, take demons into themselves. Take your demon, take that spirit, you know, from you, and they got another spirit here they give you. You know, a bad spirit for you might be a good spirit for him. Take your migraine headache spirit and give you a brain tumor. You won't have no symptoms for 4 or 5 years, and suddenly you got a brain tumor. Okay. Hexagram, Star of David. Shield of David, Tree of Life. Where's the Star of David, man? We see all these people wearing these stars today. Where'd it come from? Came out of Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism. And he talked about the Kabbalah yesterday, the seven heavens.
First time I heard that, I heard a Jewish Orthodox Jew, I mean a Reformed Jewish rabbi get up and say that heaven said seven levels. The Jews always believe that they go into at least the bottom level, and once they get that, they can work their way up. I never heard that before. I asked my father, he said he never heard of it either. Well, later when I studied, it's Catholicism, which is Jewish witchcraft, Kabbalah. And they believe in the tree of life. That's where the Star of David came from. Well, it's a standard witchcraft symbol. The standard witchcraft, hexagram. What does hex stand for? Y'all ever heard the word a hex? Well, what's a hexagram? It's the thing you stand in when you cast the hex. It's a standard witch. So the demon can't get to you.
You wear it around your neck and carry the demon with you.
So it came in and gets associated with Israel during the Zionist movement in the late 1800s. 2,800 years after David. Zodiac symbol. How many of y'all read horoscopes? Anybody here read the horoscope? No, maybe I can believe it, you know. Just read it because it's just fun to read and see what it's going to say. Can y'all do that? Nobody in here ever read the horoscope. Okay. Do you know that scripture in the Bible says you shouldn't read the horoscope? Let me read a scripture to you. I have folks ask me about scriptures. Yeah, about 5 more minutes. How much time I got left, man?
Whatever you take.
Well, I don't... Okay, let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah 47, I think it is. Yep, Isaiah 47, verse 13. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Talking to Babylon now. Let the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from the things which have come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble, and the fire shall burn them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. Don't you want to have the power of the flame burn you up? Just keep on reading the horoscopes. You got the signs of the zodiac in your house associated with that? It's got a demon attached to it. Get it out of your house. The Egyptian anchora. Any of y'all ever seen a cross, a little loop on top of it? That seems to be real, real, real popular here. You got a cross, and it's got a little loop on top of it. And everybody run a chain down through the little loop. That's an Egyptian anchora. That's a sign of the Egyptian fertility god. And the Egyptians believed in fornication with their children. Yeah, with their little girls and boys. You want that to happen in your family? Get an anchora. That lust will come in. Get those things out. Acupuncture rises out of the Hindu system to balance out the yin and the yang, the flow of good and bad in your body. Okay. It arose in the Plato. Plato was in the chariot with the good horses pulling up and the bad horses pulling down. To balance the flow of the good and the bad. That's what acupuncture is. Acupressure, reflexology, acupressure. Don't think these things don't have spiritual power. They do open heart surgery and acupuncture in China. Don't think it doesn't have spiritual power. Hypnosis. They do surgery under hypnosis. What they got? They got a demon that comes into you. That's right. You get hypnotized, you pick up a demon. And the more you submit to it, the stronger it gets. You ever been hypnotized? You need to get the demon cast out. He's there. You've been hypnotized to stop smoking? Hypnotized to lose weight? Hypnotized for your headaches? Hypnosis, yeah. Hearts. And you got little heart things, you know, them cute little things? With your little arrow stuck in it, you know, from Cupid? You got those in your house? Well, what was Cupid? He's the goddess. He's the god. Well, the heart represents Venus, who was the fertility goddess. And Cupid shoots the arrow into it, which is a phallic symbol. Now, y'all know what a phallic symbol is. Well, the phallus is a male sex organ. And it pierces the heart. Do I need to say more to you? That's what'll happen when you keep that stuff around. Jade. I used to wear my jade with great pride. Because the Chinese believe that if you wear jade long enough, it becomes part of your soul. And then when you separate from your wonderful, from your friends or your family, you give them part of your jade and they take part of you. You want to give part of your soul away? I don't want to give mine away, I'll tell you that. I had to repent of that and call my soul back. Peace symbol. I mean, y'all seen that circle with the broken cross, you know, with the stick that goes up and the two things come down? That's a good standard witchcraft symbol. It's a broken cross. It says a cross it's been broken. What about the eye on the dollar bill? The evil, all-seeing evil eye. You see it in all the Masonic symbols, and you also see it on the dollar bill. That's the all-seeing eye of Rakus. It's another witchcraft symbol. I pray over my money. Now, the truth is, I'm using a lot of the gold dollars now. I don't really like the paper ones. But it protects you from the evil eye. Birthstones, Masonic symbols, lodge symbols. You need to get rid of all your Masonic symbols. That's the lodge. My father was a Mason. My grandfather was a Mason. I had uncles that were Masons. My grandfather was the master. My uncles all worked through all of my uncles worked all the chairs. It was my father's greatest desire that I join the lodge, and I joined to please him. And when I came to realize what it meant, I had to renounce it, burn that apron, and get out. One of the pledges you make, for instance, it says that if you see your fellow Mason breaking the law, you can't report it. Murder and treason accepted, and these at your discretion. That's part of the oath. That if you see a fellow Mason breaking the law, you will not report him. Under the penalty of having your tongue torn out by the roots and your stomach split and your guts burned and God knows I don't remember the rest of it. If you did that. The Bible says when you see somebody break the law, it's a sin if you don't report it. Now who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? That's just one thing. They worship Lucifer. When you get to the top, crystals, pyramids, hex signs. A hex sign, you need to wash your towels and so forth. You get hex signs. They have big round things. They have stars on them. And birds. These are all things that you need to get out of your house. These are all talismans that bear supernatural power. And you need to get rid of them. You need to go through your house and get out any books about the supernatural. I used to have a huge supernatural library. I thought that God was using me in this, I should learn as much as possible. Really convicted me. One night, I really came under conviction, and I got my little lawnmower out with my little tractor behind it.
I piled all these books in and I carried them down to the river there, and I had a little fire ring. We had scout meetings, and I threw a half a quart of wood on there and some gasoline, got a big roaring barn fire. I was throwing and then going back up, and my neighbor came down.
Doc, is that you? Yeah. What are you doing? I'm burning trash, Wilbur. You drunk? No, I'm sober. What are you doing? I'm burning up trash. Can I help you? No, Wilbur, you go on back to bed. I'll be fine. I burned up, and I got into my son's library, and he was had a library, mythological library of all. He studied Latin and all that, and he had all these gods, and so I burned up all his books, too. I had to repent of that. I had to pay him for it. I did not have the right to burn up something that didn't belong to me. It was my home. I could have taken them and put them outside. But I didn't have a right to destroy them. They weren't mine to destroy. Now, if there are certain things, if you have things in your house that don't belong to you, that you cannot destroy because they belong to someone else. I remember I went into one house. This lady was there, and she came to the prayer meeting, and she was having all kind of trouble with these demons bothering her, you know. And I prayed for her, and we went over to her house, and we went through the house, and her husband, who was a good Baptist boy, and he had all these witchcraft books, and they were his. And I finally said to him, I said, now, sir, you have to understand, you need to get rid of these things, because the spirits are living in these things, really torment you. I don't believe that. And so I looked back, and she said, would you pray for me on a lap? I said, well, sure. And she was standing there, and I put my hand on her, and she fell through the door, halfway out on the front porch, and began to manifest. And I called all kind of spirits out there. She manifested, and these demons spoke out to her. I spoke out, and these demons talked to her husband and scared him to death. And the neighbors next door were looking out of the window, you know, and I mean, we had a crowd going while these things, you know, you think this morning we had noise that day. I mean, screaming like, I mean, you could hear a block away. And we went in the house with the door closed. We were out in our front porch. Like I say, you know, I believe in praying where you pray. When Proverbs say, where the tree falls, there it will lie. Well, that's the way I was doing. Praise God. But, you know, husband came, you know, he came out. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. He got the demons cast out of him. And he's those people are elders in the church today, in a Hispanic church. And they came out of a system. They came out of a system in to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have a tremendous number of people who've come out of that system today. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, going back to the cleaning the books, cleaning out all my books. But I tell you, God, and I met Norman Parrish. And I told Norman about it, and Norman told me the same thing had happened to him. And then I talked to a good friend of mine, and same thing had happened to him. I could relate a whole lot of experiences, but I think it's time to quit. I want you to know that divination, going to the devil for your knowledge. We'll talk a little bit about divination and sorcery tomorrow morning. And I want to go over the various types of things and a little bit about witchcraft, maybe. I don't know if I get to witchcraft or not. But I want to talk about divination and sorcery more. Everybody stand up. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, pour out your spirit, Lord God. Hallelujah. Just praise him a little bit. Praise him, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Say, dear Lord, I love you. Lord, I break all the curses that have come down on me and my family line. I repent the sins of my ancestors, my sins. I ask forgiveness of dabbling in the occult, of dabbling in divination. Lord Jesus, I vow
that I will clean my house out.
I will dispose of
anything that's offensive to you, that grieves your spirit, that gives the enemy legal rights in my life. Show me, Lord, as I walk through my house, Lord, whatever's offensive to you, you show me, Lord, that I might dispose of it. Regardless of the cost, I will dispose of it. I will not profit from the gold or silver thereof. They are according to your promise and your word. For I know that you are my provider, and you will provide what I need. I don't need the devil's money. If you want me to have it, you'll give it to me. But not through his idols. Not contrary to your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I bind all the spirits of divination, all the spirits of luck, all the spirits of the enemy that would come down through my family line. The curse of the Masonic Lodge, the Eastern Star, and all other lodges that are Luciferian or devil worshippers, not according to your will. Any false religion, I reject it. And I command these spirits to leave me. I bind them. I loose myself from them in the name of Jesus. Now go. Come on, go. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out in the name of Jesus Christ, every bit of you. Come out of there. Come on out of those people. Come out. All you lust spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All you divination spirits, all you false gift spirits, all you false comforter spirits, come on out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power. Leave God's people now. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Fill them full now, Lord. Let your spirit of wisdom and knowledge come down. Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, Lord. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, to fill your people now. Fill them with understanding. Let your spirit flow into them now. Spirit of comfort, Lord God. Edification, comfort, and exhortation, Lord. Let it flow into them, Lord. That they will be comforted, Lord, as they go forth now. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of condemnation and shame and fear shall not come in. The fear of the enemy shall not come in. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you and bless you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.